We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Cliff Starters out today. Ron, the show, Hugh Glee, Cecil Shorts III. In with us today. We've had a lot of fun listening to or working out here with you. We thank you so much for listening to us and taking the time out of your day. We have a Hall of Famer, and we always move out of the way when we got a gold jacket wearer in our midst. Warren Moon, former Houston Oiler, Hall of Famer, joins us. We thank you so much for taking the time and hanging out with us.
Yeah, it's always great to be on in Houston, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. We had Kurt Warner on maybe last week, and we were kind of talking to him about, you know, having the one great receiver versus the group, the deeper group of receivers. And in your time playing, which do you prefer as a quarterback to have? That one guy that you know you can count on, or a group of receivers that can do different things that you can exploit?
Well, you like to have both. You like to have a group of receivers that you can spread the ball around to, but out of that group, you want to have one of those guys that you know that you can depend on when you have key situations, key third downs, key whatever situations it might be in the ball game, and you hope that would develop. And I think that's what I had when I was with the Houston Oilers. We had, you know, four great receivers lined up all across the board, but I always had one guy, like if it was Drew Hill on a certain third down that I know I could go to and I could count on in any situation, even though I had three other guys that can easily get open at any time. So I think it's always best to have that group.
Warren, how do you build that relationship up with new receivers? I know DeAndre just left, and he had a great rapport with him. How do you build that relationship and get that chemistry down? Is it just flat out just working after practice, before practice in summertime, or is there something else to it?
It's working out. It's watching tape together. It's just talking over situations. But yeah, the majority is just spending time, whether it's on the field or off the field. You need to spend a lot of time together communicating, because that's what it comes down to, is how you communicate in those situations. And a lot of them, it won't happen until you actually are faced with those situations. You're going to have to go through some of those situations first. You might fail in some of them, or you might do well the first time, but every time you go through those situations, you're going to get a little bit better at them because you have something now to look at on tape.
We're visiting with Warren Moon, former Hall of Famer, former Houston Oiler. For someone who played the quarterback position as well as anybody as a Hall of Famer, when was the year? What was the time frame, the age, when you felt like you were most comfortable and your mind was at the same place and learning the game as your skill set was?
You know, when I came to Houston, and I went through quite a few coordinators before we finally got it down to where I felt comfortable. And I think once June Jones came in, I think he really settled me down. I think that was probably in 1987 or something like that, 86 or 87. And he really, because he had played the quarterback position before, he had played in the run-and-shoot offense before, so he really gave me a lot of good wisdom, really worked on my deep ball a lot more, because I was throwing it more on a line, and he made me develop a little bit more air on the football where receivers could run underneath it. So there was a lot of little things I improved on when June Jones became my offensive coordinator.
87 is a really good year. That was the year I was born. Not to make you feel old or anything, but it makes sense why that year was a good year for you.
It was a good year. It was the first year we went to the playoffs, and we won a playoff game at home, and you were born. So all good things happened in 87.
There you go. How important, you mentioned June Jones being your OC, and Deshaun's going to have a new OC this year in Tim Kelly. And there's been reports about Tim Kelly really reaching out to different guys on the offense and trying to see things from their perspective, get feedback from the players, and really seeing things through Deshaun's eyes. How important is that QB offensive coordinator relationship to success of the offense?
You know, it's huge, and I don't know if Tim Kelly was on the staff previously or did he come in from somewhere else, because that has a lot to do with it, too. If he's already been there.
He has been.
That makes it a little bit easier to transition because he's familiar with Deshaun. He watches him in practice every day, probably sits in film sessions with him. But I think, if anything, they can even get closer together. I remember when Kevin Gilbride, he became my offensive coordinator right after June Jones left and went to I think he went to Atlanta with Jerry Glanville. Me and Kevin became very, very close, and he was actually my neighbor. I think he lived like five houses down the street from me. So not only did we have a relationship at work, but we also became friends off the field. But most of the time when we were off the field, we were talking football. So that made it that much easier for us to communicate because we had a really good feel of what each other liked to do in certain situations.
Mm. All right, I posed this question to you last year before the season started about Patrick Mahomes, and I want to see your thoughts about it with Deshaun Watson. All right, last year I said to you, your thought, would you be surprised if Patrick Mahomes went through his entire career and didn't win a Super Bowl? And you said you'd be shocked, and obviously he then went ahead and won a Super Bowl, so I guess you know what you're talking about. If I were to pose that same question to you about Deshaun Watson, in year four, would you be surprised if Deshaun Watson never won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'd really be surprised. I'd be more surprised than shocked, only because you just don't know what's going to happen with Bill O'Brien and the way he handles the personnel there in Houston. They've been kind of up and down in a lot of different areas. They haven't had a consistency there that you need to have, a core group that you need to have in order to win a Super Bowl. And I think that's what Patrick so far has had at Kansas City. You know, he's had the same offensive coordinator. He's had the same head coach. He's had the same quarterback coach, and he's had the same group of receivers around him. And I think all of that helps as far as creating that continuity and that chemistry that you need in order to win a championship. So as long as the Houston Texans stop making all these changes that they're making, I think they'll be able to create some of that same continuity that will help Deshaun win a championship.
Real quick, Warren, if you were Deshaun, what would your mind space be if these changes occurred around you with the organization?
Which changes?
These changes of losing to DeAndre Hopkins. As you just talked about, you're not sure how Bill O'Brien will handle personnel situations. If you were in Deshaun Watson's spot, like what would be going through your mind?
Well, I'm hoping, when is it going to stop? You know, again, that's the communication and a conversation he probably needs to have with Bill as far as what is Bill's philosophy? What is he thinking as far as building this football team? Does he think he's almost there, or are there still a lot of other major changes that he still wants to make? I think he has a pretty good group right now, if you look at his offensive side of the football, that he can work with. But who knows if that's going to change. And I think he's got really four really good receivers, four guys who can help him in a lot of different areas where he can spread the football around to. Nobody can try and take away one of those guys because you got four of them. As long as Will Fuller stays healthy, he's a guy that's, I think, a big key to their offense. If David Johnson comes around and becomes what he was in Arizona, you've got a reliable running back that can also catch the football out of the backfield, and I think they've improved the offensive line. So if they can kind of try and keep this group together for a little while, I think he's got a chance to do that. And that will be my question to Bill or whoever's running the personnel part of the football team. Do you think we're there yet? Is this a group that we think we can work with here for a while?
Speaking of personnel and people running the personnel, there was a proposed rule change that if you hire a black African-American or minority person, I should say, into the basically staff, right, you will get a higher draft pick. Just want your thoughts on how do you feel about that rule. Is it necessary, and why is it so hard for people of minorities to get in those positions?
Yeah, there's no question that the Rooney Rule has been circumvented over the years. It's not doing what it was intended to do, which was to create more opportunities for African Americans or minorities to get head coaching jobs and also front office jobs. And, you know, it worked there for a while. I think at one point we had up to eight or nine head coaches in the National Football League. They were African Americans. Now we're down to four, three of those being African Americans, and then Ron Rivera, who's Hispanic. So they know that something has to be done in order to create more opportunities for African Americans at the head coaching spot and the general manager spot. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to incentivize owners to be able to create more opportunities. But there's a lot of ideas that have been thrown out there. I don't think this idea that they put out there about the draft picks is a great one. But the thing that I'm encouraged about is that the commissioner and whoever else is involved sees that there is a problem and sees that something needs to be done. I don't know if we have the answers yet, but as long as they're conscious of it and as long as they keep trying to make some certain changes to make sure that more African Americans get those opportunities, that's all I'm really concerned about right now. I just don't think they're there yet.
Warren Moon, I've always wondered, have you ever thought about going into coaching or front office work? Because I mean, as much as you know the game and as much as you've been around, I feel like you would be a terrific asset.
Yeah, I've looked at some ownership opportunities, and that's where I think the big changes are going to happen with African Americans at the coaching spot and also in the upper management spots, because when you are the owner of a football team, you call all the shots and you can hire the type of people that you want, whether it's people that look like you, people that don't look like you but are qualified. And I think that's what needs to happen on the other fronts. Even though you have white owners that are mainly hiring people that look like them, sometimes you have to hire people that maybe don't look like you but are definitely qualified to do what they do. And that's what I'd like to see more of from the owners in the National Football League right now. But we can help that by becoming more minority owners, and we can start making some of those decisions that favor us a little bit more.
One more question for me, and I have to know this. Who is the greatest basketball player of all time? Is it Michael Jordan? Or for me, it's LeBron. That's who I grew up on. That's who I saw. But I just want to get your opinion.
You know, I think LeBron is probably the best overall basketball player I've ever seen.
Smart,
being
man.
Able to do everything. But I think Michael Jordan is probably the greatest scorer that we've ever seen, and probably the greatest winner. So it's so hard to put guys in categories and pit guys against each other, especially when they played at different times. But I've been fortunate enough to see both of them, and I just like and enjoyed what I saw in both of them.
Did you come away feeling better about Michael Jordan or worse after watching The Last Dance, if you checked it out?
There were certain things I felt better about. There were certain things I even questioned myself and my own leadership abilities about when I watched him, that maybe I could have been a little bit tougher and rode guys a little bit more to get more out of them. But there's also some of the things that I'm finding out that might not be true that he was talking about during the documentary that worry me a little bit. But other than that, I thought it was very well done. I thought it was something that was very well needed during this time of this pandemic, and it really kept me glued to the television set.
All right. Appreciate it. Warren Moon, we always enjoy you stopping by in Houston. Still are big fans of Warren Moon. And we just thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And I'll be down there soon to visit my family as soon as some of this stuff starts to subside. And we can come down there and have a good time and eat outside and not have to worry about anything.
There we go. I'm with that, man. All right, Warren Moon, thank you so much. The Hall of Famer, Warren Moon. And he's even admitting, a little shaky on Michael Jordan. I just say it, man. He's a little shaky. He's a little shaky. We know what Warren was talking about. Man's man. Yeah, Warren looked at that stuff and said, man, come on now. Come on, man. No, that was great, man. He had some great nuggets about what I found it really interesting, Cecil, when he went into the thought of, if he was Deshaun, man, I need to figure out, hey, man, what's this personnel going to be looking like? what are we going to be looking like down the road? Yeah, that was
I think that's another person that has that P word, that power.
That power.
We were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that power, man. If he knew what he knew now. The big thing that we worry about, if you're a Texans fan, with J.J. Watt, is health. We'll get into that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.